Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
It is a football firing Friday. David Culley fired as head coach of the Houston Texans. You know, listeners, friends of mine, when we're casually talking about the David Culley situation and we knew which way the wind was blowing earlier this week, they would ask me, at what point did you think that the David Culley era was not really going to work out in the end? And I would say even going into it, I was skeptical. Although if the goal was just for him to steer the ship for a couple of years, I thought we would make it more than 1 year. I'll be very clear about that. But when did I think it might not last even 2 years? I would say, I went back and watched his initial press conference last night just to relive the magic. This happened about 20 minutes into the press conference. So I would say about 20 minutes into the David Culley era officially, when he was asked about Deshaun Watson as the quarterback. And was he brought up to speed throughout the interview process on the fact that Deshaun Watson had requested a trade?
The only thing I knew about this whole situation at that point was that I was being interviewed for this job to be the head coach. And I did know at that point, Deshaun Watson's a Houston Texan. He's a quarterback of the Houston Texans. And that's all that I was concerned about. And that's all I knew. And whatever was been said about what he wanted to do or he didn't want to do, all I know is this, having been in this business this long, you know, he is a Houston Texan. And I want him to be a Houston Texan. And the reason I'm in this position today is because I knew he's going to be a Houston Texan. And so that the outside stuff that was being said was irrelevant to me, because the most important thing to me is that at that time was figuring out what can I do after talking with Nick and his family to become the head coach of the Houston Texans.
Okay, so a lot of words there. David Culley, and we should point out the timeline. That was January 29th. The lawsuits didn't become a public thing till March 16th. So at that point, the only issue with Deshaun Watson was kind of a big issue, but he didn't want to be here anymore. He wanted to be traded.
It wasn't stuff that was being said on the outside that was the issue, Sean.
Right.
That was what bothered me about that was it almost felt like people write things and everything, but they don't know the real truth. He's not playing for the Houston Texans this year.
Literally, the minute that David Culley was announced or it was reported he was going to be the head coach, Deshaun's camp planted the story 5 minutes later that they were confirming his trade request that had been reported for weeks up to that point. Yeah, that was, and I'm not even being cute when I play that, and I'm not doing it to pile on. And we're going to hear more David Culley here in a little bit, because there's plenty of reasons. If you're still in that camp of like, oh, he got a raw deal, he didn't deserve to be fired, why didn't they keep him for 2 years? I got a bunch of reasons here in a minute. And we're going to be forward-looking today and looking at candidates and things like that. But this is the one day we rehash, man. We do the autopsy. Like, how did we arrive here? And Seth, that answer to me, I put myself on that day in Deshaun Watson's shoes, and it was the part at the very end, like, he will be a Houston Texan. He is a Houston Texan. And I'm thinking, man, if I were Deshaun, I'd be like, slow down, old man. I got a no-trade clause. I got a lot of hand in this. So that answer to me, I'm like, God, this is really tone deaf what I'm hearing right now. And then five minutes later, he's asked, why'd you take the job? And he said it's because it was one of 32 jobs.
Yeah.
I took this job simply because there's 32 of these in this league.
Yep.
I've seen people defend David Culley by saying, well, you can't judge him based on his press conferences because, you know, that's not the same as coaching. This is the problem. I'd say early on, I felt partially the same way. I don't like judging guys on press conferences too much because very few people people in the NFL have actually done that many press conferences. Yeah. It's good that now coordinators have to do them every week. But it is, it's a very unnatural environment, and guys slip up and say a lot of things. The thing about Cully was, as he got more comfortable with the press conferences, you started to realize more and more, oh no, he just doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, it was before, it might have been like attributed to nervousness. Now it's just that, oh, he's very comfortable telling us that, like, openly admitting to us that he was clueless and lost at various moments during the season.
Dude, if you got him on a podcast, it's like you just handed him a bottle of peach schnapps. And he's just talking and talking. Remember, he's on that podcast. He's like, he is our quarterback as of now.
You know, the worst thing about that podcast, if you go back and watch it, I watched it a couple weeks ago just to relive the past glory of the Love You Cull era. And I... So the one of the best parts of the Love You Cull era was when... when he was on that podcast with those two guys, who was it? It was
Steve Wyche and J.C. Trotter.
So J.C. Trotter, which always feels like it should be J.C. Trotter. J.C. Trotter.
Oh no, yeah, no, J.C. Trotter. It's Trotter's the. It's Jim Trotter. Sorry, J.C. Trotter. I'm getting. Trotter's I'm the mashing NFL their names up. J.C. Trotter is the Cleveland Brown. Yes.
Okay, so it was those two guys, and the thing about that, Sean, was when Cully said he's the quarterback for now. The other two guys kind of said, "Whoa, coach, you got to watch out, coach." And Cully just kept smiling and shaking his head. Yes,
that was awesome.
Like, he didn't even realize that he'd gotten got, like that he botched it somehow. And he said, and he repeated himself. Like, he said, "Yeah, for now,
right?"
And then he had a talking to, and he came back, and like half an hour later in the press conference, he was the complete opposite.
Oh yeah. He was nervous, and it was wild. It was wild. So that was the moment for me. Seth, as we dig into David Cully here, like kind of doing the analysis here of how we got here, what would you say, like, if we're sitting here and we're debating with somebody who thinks David Cully got a raw deal in this whole thing, and I'm going to entertain their point of view on this because I don't agree with that, what was David Cully good at as a head coach?
I think he's the only head coach I've ever seen give pep talks to the fans before training camp practices. That was good. I think that
I don't want my next coach doing that, by the way.
I think that he generally, and I see we're getting a lot of texts talking about, like, hey, wait a second, the fact that he got hired was the real issue. Of course, yes, of course. We're encompassing all that. If you tune in at various
I just
times
said
the day,
I knew he was going to fail 20 minutes into his introduction.
Yeah. Like, look, Casario and Easterby are not this is a even if they hired him just to be a bridge coach, this was a botched bridge coach hiring.
Yes.
It's just like they did. Bo Porter, that was a hell of a bridge coach. He knew what he was. You know why? Because Bo Porter knew what he was talking about. Like, Bo Porter was a competent. I mean, Bo Porter, if he could go back in time, probably wishes he hadn't taken the job because I think he would have been a manager. He might have been a manager elsewhere, like with some place that had a viable opportunity. But I think I do think sometimes it's underrated. Like how hard it is to just run a tight ship in the NFL, that it is easy for things to kind of go out of control. And as I'm saying this, I'm also realizing, oh, wait, yeah, we did have Zach Cunningham like skipping multiple meetings and ultimately getting cut. I think that Cully was helped out by the nature of the roster and the shape of the roster. And I think by Casario kind of being the heavy hand in a lot of this stuff. Guys were benched very quickly. Guys were just gotten off the team very quickly if there were issues. And they had a bunch of one-year veterans. This is a very veteran football team.
Yeah.
It's not a young football team. The teams that go off the rails tend to be younger teams especially. Or there's a lot of cocaine if you're talking about the 1980s. I don't think either of those were an issue here. They didn't have a whole bunch of guys that had off the field issues. They had guys that were on 1 year deals that were veterans that were going to show up and play hard. But I will give them credit for, you know, being at the helm during that.
Yeah, sure. When I was jotting down things like, okay, what was he good at? I'll entertain the other side of the argument here. Ran a pretty tight training camp. I mean, we can go back and listen to you and I being out of training camp going, you know what? I said this looks like a better coach team than last year's team. During training camp, I said that I think this is going to be a better coach team. As it turns out, I was wrong about that. They were probably coached about the same. But he ran a tight training camp, and I wrote, he's good at being nice to people. And so I don't know if that qualifies him to be a good head coach, but he was a very, very sweet man.
This is one where we need suggestions from the listeners about what were Cully's greatest skills. Chewing gum is up there
big
on
time.
The list.
Big time. Yeah, text in 713.
Did he start the gum halfway? Early in the season, it just looked like he was chewing his tongue.
Yes. Yeah, it did. It did.
Which was disturbing.
Right, right.
That was
maybe someone walked up to him and said, hey, coach, how about some gum instead?
Listen, there's only one person that's allowed to chew on their own body parts during games in this town, and that's Jose Altuve with his fingernails.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. That's
all right? That's
yeah.
it. There's room for one and one alone.
He's
if your name isn't
too.
Jose Altuve, yeah. then you keep your teeth off your other body parts during a game.
All right. Now, for those of you who think that David Culley got a raw deal, I am going to make my counterpoints here via audio, Seth. Are you ready? My counterpoints on the issues with the David Culley era. First, game management. And there are several examples we can use here, but I'll just use the earliest one, the first red flag that game management was going to be an issue for David Culley, and explaining his decisions the next day was going to be an issue. This was David Culley after the loss to Cleveland in week two, where he declined a penalty on third down to punt on fourth and two from midfield.
If I had it to do over again, I would have taken the penalty. And I tell you, as I thought about it, it was more of out of a frustration than anything. And kind of this is what happened is we were second and seven. We get a false start. I think it was Titus had a false start. And then we go to second and 12. Then the very next play, we lose 3 yards. We lose 3 yards on it. So now we're second and, I don't know what it was, I put it, second and 12. And we lose three, so it's 15. And then when we got the penalty, the first thing that went through my mind was, and I was a little frustrated at that time because I was thinking field position. I did not want to do anything to hurt us. And then, because Cam, as a punter, we had the ball right there about the 49-yard line. I figured that, you know, he's been very, very good at being able to pin him back. And I was thinking that, but, again, that was just out of frustration on my part because of the series that we were having at that time. But, no, if I had that to do over again, I would take the penalty and give our offense a chance to get the first down, which is what I should have done.
Playing the Curb Your Enthusiasm there a little bit.
So game management and explaining game management.
Game management
issue.
And explaining the game management afterwards. Now, early on, if I remember correctly, it was so long ago during the Lovey Call era, that it was a little bit refreshing that a guy would at least admit those mistakes.
I agree with that.
And he was early in the season. As the season went along, I think there were fewer gaffes. I just wonder if there was kind of a Cyrano de Bergerac situation going on where the reason there were fewer gaffes was because Nick Caserio and Romeo Crennel flat out just put their hands on the wheel.
Yes.
And were the ones, you know, just kind of telling Culley what to do and Culley parroting those things.
Well, another issue, not just game management, but attention span, I think kind of played into it as he revealed to us in a very honest moment, another honest moment from David Culley. He revealed this after the win over Jacksonville in week 15, that the New England game in week 5, he just wasn't paying attention when it came time to let New England score at the end.
I go back again to the New England game. I can remember just like it was yesterday that the conversation went, let them score. I mean, I heard the conversation and then all of a sudden it didn't compute to me at that time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden now from that point on, I've learned that to be ahead of those things. And when you're ahead of those things like that, you're much better to make those decisions. That means you're going to make the right decision. But when you make that decision, you're pretty sure about making that decision. And when you make those decisions, Aaron, those players know. They know immediately whether you're going for it on fourth down. A lot of times when we get in a third down situation, a third and two or whatnot, I'll tell Tim, you got two downs. I want him to make this decision knowing that you got two downs to get this first down. Nobody knows that but he and I. So the point is being able to have those things ahead of time allows us to and allows our play callers to be able to do the things that they need to do.
Okay, so there you go. So attention span. Seth, as we know, math was an issue at times with David Culley following the Miami game with the turnover margin.
The turnover margin, yeah. Are we going to play that audio?
Sure.
Everybody, just remember, the Dolphins in this game turned the ball over 5 times. The Texans turned the ball over 4 times and lost to the Dolphins, who turned the ball over 5 times.
Well, we got no chance to win a football game. It doesn't matter who you play when you turn the ball over 4 times. It doesn't matter if you get 5
turnovers. It doesn't matter. It's a formula that's been in this league, in all leagues, that when you play that way, you have no chance to win.
It's a formula. Somewhere Nick Sirianni is like, another formula. Something that I have to go with. Talent takeover equals what was it, Ben?
Less thinking equals talent takeover.
That's right.
It's a formula that if you're plus one in the turnover margin, you have no chance of winning the game, Sean.
Only when it's 5-4. Yeah.
Only if it's a formula.
Yeah.
It's been proven time and time again. Except for the one exception, ironically enough, which was yesterday when our team was beat by a team that had turned the ball over at least four times.
That has slowly become my favorite David Culley cut of all of them.
It looked like he had really, really thought it out, and it was just like, you know, he was explaining something to us peasants about, like, the way football works.
It's a formula since time immemorial. Moses came down and on a tablet had this formula for turnovers in a football game in this league or any other league, I do declare.
Eight commandments. There were eight commandments, you see.
Let me tell you about Aesop and his eight commandments. What?
Some of them were curiously kind of like trivial versus other ones like do not murder.
Right.
And then other really important stuff was completely left out. But there were eight, and that's the important thing.
Okay, the last thing here on Culley is that while most head coaches are either good or bad at hiring people, David Culley, bad at firing people. Here was Culley on Sunday following the last game of the year on who's coming back.
Well, I expect everybody to be back, and I expect us to get better at everything that we're doing, you know, not just from the run game, but our pass game, get better on defense, get better on special teams. I think overall, you know, we just got to get better in all areas, and looking forward to going through that this offseason, self-evaluating ourselves and figuring out what we need to do to get better and then move forward with it.
Seth, I'm sure Nick Caserio is going to get asked about this today at 11 o'clock at his press conference. In his statement to the media, Caserio cited philosophical differences over the long-term direction and vision for our program moving forward. You juxtapose that to reports that Nick Caserio did not like the fact that David Culley wanted to bring everybody back. How much are you buying into that as a driving force behind Culley getting fired, or is that an excuse? Because I think philosophical differences being mentioned in the statement mean philosophical differences over staff, and especially when Tim Kelly also gets mentioned in the same statement with David Culley.
And it was a little bit of a, I don't know, I know some people had an issue with them even mentioning, you know, the philosophical differences in the exit or the explanation. I guess I don't worry as much about that. I can see where it's not necessarily the classiest thing to do to cite anything other than all than just say it was time to move on. I have a hard time believing that's the thing that was the deal breaker of the multiple things that showed that David Culley just flat out didn't know what he was doing. Him wanting to stick to his guns on something like that sounds A, improbable that he would even do it, and B, just, it sounds like inconsequential in the face of all the other reasons we already knew about why he should be fired.
I could see it being a straw that broke the camel's back. You know, just the timing of him saying that Tim Kelly would 100% be back next season was, I think it was the Friday before the Titans game, and that's when the rumblings kind of started. The reports went from David Culley expected to be back to they're expecting to be an evaluation. The timing was very lined up with David Culley really going from supporting Tim Kelly to digging his heels on Tim Kelly being retained.
You know, I think that, I think that there's also an element here where I'll go back to the Moneyball example when Billy Beane basically had agreed with Art Howe, the manager, like, okay, this is where we're going to run things. And Art Howe initially, we should have Art on at some point to talk about this. Art Howe initially was cool with everything, like understood the setup, the situation. Once you go through an entire season, it's hard. It's different. It's different, and it's hard to necessarily accept that. Wait a second, I'm not gonna have authority to make this decision or that decision. And Culley, even though it's easy for us to say, like, well, Culley should just be grateful to have a job. Maybe Culley got to the point where he realized, like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I've messed up a lot, but I also didn't know it was going to be quite like this.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that you were going to trade away some of the better players on the team immediately before the season or the way we operated during the year. So maybe David Culley did kind of champ at the bit a little bit and throw up some objectives, and that was the final straw.
Could be.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.